Thank you, young people. The book of Nehemiah tonight will be in Nehemiah chapter number 4, Nehemiah chapter number 4, and we look forward to continuing in our series on church health. And while you're finding Nehemiah chapter number 4, I'll remind you what I remind you just about every week, that if we want a healthy church, and I trust that we do, we say, you know, how do we do that? And that's we as members have to be healthy, spiritually speaking. I'm afraid sometimes, and I remind you of this as well, sometimes we look at what others can do in the church and we wonder how are we actually contributing. And I want to remind you that everybody in the church is important. It took just as much as God's grace for each one of us to be saved as the other. And so we are reminded if we want to have a healthy church, then the best thing I can do for my church is me be healthy myself, and me concentrate on my spiritual health. Sometimes it's easy for us to look and say, wow, they're not quite as spiritually healthy as they should be. Well, you can't control them. We want to try and control your own spiritual health, and we're going to look at a different aspect of that tonight. And it'll be very timely with everything that's going on in our church. But tonight we'll look at the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 4. And we're going to look at verse number 1. We're going to read down through verse number 9. If you're familiar with the book of Nehemiah, you'll be familiar with this passage of Scripture. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter number 4, beginning with verse number 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. And turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. It's always interesting how Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites had to all get together and conspire against little old Jerusalem. And it's amazing how there's no new thing under the sun. Verse number 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of, what's that word? Them. So we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Now, there's a lot that can be said in that verse that I'm not going to say tonight. But I want to preach this message tonight, give the study, healthy churches build walls. Healthy churches build walls. We want to contribute to our church's spiritual health. We want to have a healthy church. We want to have a healthy home spiritually. And tonight, if your health isn't what you want it to be, I've got some good news for you. You can improve your spiritual health. There's ways to do that. So as a church, we want to keep our eyes and our focus on that which keeps us healthy. We want to show what a healthy church does. And so tonight, we're going to look at this aspect of a healthy church that builds walls. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be in church tonight. We thank you for the Word of God, what it means to us, what it provides for us. And Father, I pray that you would just help us tonight to strengthen ourselves. May you strengthen your church by what's done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A healthy church, what do you mean, Pastor? A healthy church builds walls. Well, a healthy church, of course, does not build walls to keep itself necessarily isolated out of the world, but it does want to protect itself from the outside world. We want to protect our church from those that would seek to weaken the truth, from those that would divide the body, and those that would discourage the work of God. And let me just remind you, that is our responsibility, is to protect us from those things. Every parent should want to protect their children from that which would weaken the truth that is taught when they're taught the Word of God. Every parent should want to guard against that would divide the home and discourage from doing the work of God. Likewise, we as Christians, we as members of the Emmanuel Baptist Church, we want to protect from that which would weaken the truth in the heart and mind of someone. We don't want the body of Christ to be divided. We don't want anything but unity in our church. And I remind you, unity is not everybody being the same, thinking exactly the same. Unity is having something we're unified around. And God has given us what we are to be unified around. Now, we could all have a certain political persuasion, but that is not what God gave us to be unified around. We're to be unified around the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and unified in our purpose. The purpose of the church, we know, is the Great Commission to reach the world with the gospel. We want to keep that unity. And let me remind us, as we're talking about a healthy church, having spiritual health personally, spiritual health as a home, spiritual health as a church itself, we want in the aspect of building walls, let me use this analogy, and that's every healthy thing has some sort of boundary. God created boundaries in everything. There are boundaries that God has created. This would include the church. That's why the church is to be able to guard itself from that which God has set boundaries from. Your skin protects the body, just like walls protect a city. A shepherd protects sheep. He controls the boundaries from which they wander. Parents should have boundaries for their children. Why is that? To protect the children. Don't fall prey to this as like, well, that's just oppressive. And oh, you know, I had a curfew at 9:30 and I was just oppressed as a child. Well, God bless you. I hope all your therapy sessions, you get through it. But there's supposed to be boundaries. We don't have to like them. We don't necessarily have to agree with them. But when God sets boundaries, whose boundaries are they? They're God's boundaries. And one of the greatest misunderstandings in what I'll refer to as modern Christianity is the idea that because a church is supposed to have a heart of love, and we should, a church is supposed to live with charity, and we spent a whole long time on that series on charity, and we should. And if the church is supposed to live by charity, what does that mean? This building's not living by charity, but you and I, who are the church, are to live by charity. But there's a great misunderstanding, and that is that the idea of love means we have to expose ourselves to everything. Because we are to love, we have to open ourselves to the opinions and open ourselves to everyone and everything. But that is not what the Bible says. The Bible says that there are to be some boundaries. It is true. We as a church, we are called to love people. That's why I constantly warn us about the political rhetoric. We all ought to have some opinions on that based on principle, but we're not supposed to hate the other political party. We're not supposed to hate people. You know, we're called to preach the gospel. Did you know that? We do know that. We're called to reach the world. But that call is not accompanied with a command to surrender the boundaries that God has set. Just because we go into the world to reach the world does not mean we drop the boundaries to the world. Just because we are called to preach the gospel does not mean we drop the boundaries that God has set. A healthy church, it is true, and we've had a different lesson on this, is focused on the world. A healthy church wants to reach the world with the gospel. That's what I mean by that. A healthy church is involved in loving people. That's what a healthy church does. A healthy church is compassionate. But a healthy church also has boundaries. Just because we as Christians, and we have to get this out of our mind today, it is what the world would want us to think is true, that just you cannot love if you still keep boundaries. But that's not true. I would submit to you, you can't really love if you don't have boundaries. Because they are boundaries that God has set. And don't let people guilt you into having boundaries. This Bible sets boundaries for those who would have an unfaithful walk. It doesn't mean we hate them. Doesn't mean that we necessarily shun them. But there are some boundaries. The church has boundaries. And we must live by those boundaries. And I'm afraid that we're not focused enough on keeping those walls built that we ought to have as a church. See, let me say it like this, and I'll get into the rather lengthy outline tonight. Healthy people build. Healthy leaders always watch. So if we're healthy as a church, we're building. If a church is not building, and I don't mean we're always at construction all the time, but we're building lives, we're building Sunday school classes, we're building homes, we're building all of those things. A healthy leader, a spiritually healthy leader, in this case, the pastor, he's watching. What boundaries are getting crossed? And it's the leader's responsibility to guard those boundaries. Likewise, in your home, there's boundaries to your home. As the leader of your home, you should be watching those boundaries. But a healthy church does both of those things. It builds and it watches. Now, I have admonished you as a church to remind you the pastor is not the only one that has the responsibility to guard the church. We all have that responsibility. If somebody's pushing a false doctrine in a Sunday school class, somebody ought to put a stop to that. And I don't mean you suplex them off of the top table. I don't mean that. But there ought to be a stop to it. Well, this has been going on for 10 years. How come so nobody said anything? Well, we didn't think it was our responsibility. No, it's all of our responsibility. We want those boundaries. Let me give you some things to think about tonight from this passage. Number one, a healthy church understands that building invites opposition. A healthy church understands that building invites opposition. It is true. It is true in this day we live in that people who do not build attack those who build. I have a lot of naysayers. I don't know if you knew that or not. And I would submit to you that every single one of them has built nothing. Nothing. But if you build something, you're going to get opposition. Look at verse number 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth. He didn't get mad until the wall was getting built. Then the opposition appeared because progress appeared. We're commanded to build walls, and if there's a broken wall, let's just be honest. To use the same analogy, as a church, there's going to be times when there's walls that need to be repaired. Over time, in a marriage, there's walls that have to be repaired. And so as we should constantly say, this wall's got to be repaired, and this wall's got to be repaired. Why do we do that? Because we want to stay healthy, but when that happens, opposition is going to appear. You know what? Nobody mocks broken walls. Nobody opposes broken walls. Nobody attacked Jerusalem when it was an empty city. We read the text, I commented on it. Everybody had to get together once there's people in the city and the walls are being built. But when it was empty, nobody cared. But once rebuilding started, opposition arrived. Healthy churches should not be surprised when criticism increases. Well, I got criticized at work because I'm a Christian. You're not the first. You won't be the last. I'm not saying it feels good. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just reminding us as you grow as a Christian, criticism's going to come. Well, you think you're better than your family now? It's because you're growing and they feel the pressure of that. They feel the conviction of that. The same is true when it comes to a church. Well, did they all really mean it? I was going to say it's popular today, but it's always been popular. A lot of people get saved and you're aggressive in soul winning. And those that don't go soul winning, they want to attack those that do. It's the way it's always been. You say, well, how do we not have that criticism? Do what they do or do what they don't do? That's the way it goes. Then that pressure is going to increase. The resistance is going to appear. And then that spiritual opposition intensifies. If the closer you get to the Lord and you start growing, you start building some walls in your life, some walls in your home, some walls in a church, then the opposition is going to come. You know, as our church grows, what a year we've had in growth and additions to the church. New members in Bible study tonight. You know, when you grow, you're going to face opposition. Let me help some of you. Some of you are like, Pastor, I made that decision. I surrendered. And it seems like every time where I turn is harder. Let me help you with that. Every difficulty doesn't mean something's wrong. Sometimes it means it's right. Sometimes opposition means something is being built. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. But when the devil starts stirring, you know you're going the right way. You know you're doing the right thing. Number two, everybody with me? A healthy church recognizes external threats. Now, I have always taught us and continue to teach us, we got to keep our spirits right. We got to take care of us. Well, what's going on in the church downtown? We don't care, and it don't have any effect on us. But at the same time, we can't be naive to think that there's no threats out there. Because if we think that, we're going to drop those walls or not rebuild the walls when they crumble. Nehemiah faced threats from the outside. This is something as a church, and through the years, this church has got a great history and a great heritage that we've always had opposition from. We've had some from the inside at times, but always some from the outside. Why is that? It's nothing new. If you were to go to Acts chapter number 20, that we were reminded that they were warned against grievous wolves who enter in. There's always a threat from the outside. Let me give you some of them. You ready? There's cultural pressure. That is a threat. That is a threat. It's pressure to abandon your conviction. There's a lot of times Christians have changed their convictions, not because the Bible has changed, but because pressure from the culture changed them. That's a threat. So how does that apply to you and I? Parents, be careful putting your children in those cultural pressure situations, especially before they can handle it. So, they ought to be able to handle it. Throw a lamb to a bunch of wolves and say, oh, you ought to be able to handle that. That's not the way it works. But we need to be wise and understand that there's that cultural pressure. We have to, okay, so as a pastor, what do? We warn against the cultural pressure. As a parent, you got to understand there's a cultural pressure out there that'll hurt my children. So I have to have those boundaries. That doesn't exclude us as individual Christians. We have to understand there's a cultural pressure out there. And it comes to us in different ways, and there's that pressure to abandon our conviction. There's false teaching. That's a threat. We accept small little areas of false teaching, and these ideas slowly erode truth. Slowly erode truth. that is a threat. There are some things we as a church, we don't participate in, we're not going to participate in. Why? Because there's some false teaching there. Oh, you think everybody that doesn't believe like you is going to hell? No, I don't believe that at all. I believe you have to be, everybody who goes going to heaven is going the same way, saved by the grace of God. But that does not mean a saved person, the Bible teaches us, there's a falling away. The Bible teaches us that we can be tossed to and fro. The Bible teaches us those things. So a saved person can be swayed by false doctrine. So we have to understand, I have to stay away from that false teaching. Let me warn you, be careful. You used to be able, growing up, you hear, you better watch this preacher here that preaches on TV. Nobody does that anymore. I guess some of you are like, yeah, I don't know. Who watches TV anymore? I don't know. But now it's YouTube clips. And it sounds almost right, but it's not. If it's almost right, it's 100% wrong. So we have to be aware that there is a threat out there. So I'm not telling you to delete YouTube out of your phone. Maybe you should. But you ought to have some boundaries that guard you from false teaching. Well, this author, and sometimes I'll warn on some authors and say, well, this book seems pretty good. You better have some boundaries. Because a little bit of false teaching erodes truth. What's another external threat? Discouragement. Now, I'm going to help us with this, and some of us aren't going to like it. A lot of Christians are discouraged because they got voices in their ear. I didn't say voices in their head. They are listening to somebody tell them they're discouraged. Now, I'm not saying discouragement is not a real thing. Discouragement is a real thing, and we are all prone to it. I'll use the political spectrum. I have made it known that you've got to be careful how much politics you get, because that can discourage you. It can greatly discourage you. Well, we have to guard some boundaries. You say, well, Pastor, I need somebody to encourage me. We all need somebody to encourage us. That's all great. But didn't the Bible admonish us to encourage ourselves? And there have been times in my life where I've had people help me and encourage me, and I'm thankful for that. But there have been times when I've had to encourage myself. And I don't like those times. So what can help us not get to that place? It's some boundaries, realizing there's some threats out there. And let me help you. Sometimes I throw some things out, and maybe I'm not as forceful as I should be, and say, you need to be careful of this. You need to watch this. And what am I saying? There needs to be some boundaries because there is a threat out there. And sometimes we're naive and we think, well, there's no, we live in America. We have freedom to worship. Except for COVID, we have freedom too. We have all these freedoms. It says in God we trust. We're in America, and sometimes and the devil has been good at lulling us to sleep and say there's no threats out there. That discouragement. Be careful who you listen to. Division is a threat. Outside influence that creates internal friction. And that internal friction turns into an internal fracture. One of the pastor's number one responsibilities, and I give great attention and I give great energy to it, is to keep us unified. No division. Now, again, that doesn't mean we all think the same. It doesn't mean we all have the same background. Only the church can take as diverse of a group as this is. And we are a unified church. We are a church with a spirit. We are moving forward as a church. Why is that? A lot of it is the sermons you don't like to hear, it's because of the sermons I preach. That's all of them for some of you. What do I mean? Because there's got to be a warning that there's a danger out there. There's that potential. That's a wall. There's division out there. I warn you with the social media. I warn you with listening to these other voices. There's division. Potential. What is that? That's outside influence creating internal friction, which leads to internal fraction. What goes on in our church is our business. No other body had no other person, no other. Say, well, I never give an opinion about the church. You know what it's worth? Nothing. Nothing. Another threat is fear. Pressure to become silent when you shouldn't be silent. That's a threat. Well, I don't want to speak up. I don't want to say anything. You know, if we do that, I mean, that's really kind of unconventional. And then there's that pressure to become silent. You as a Christian, sometimes because you know what your kids are exposed to, you'll stay silent in your own home. Well, I don't want that battle. If you don't fight it now, you're going to fight it later. And that's just a great universal principle to apply across the board. Sometimes it's better to fight that battle than fight it later. As a healthy church, we understand not every influence deserves access. Just because somebody's got your same last name doesn't mean they ought to have the ability to have a voice in your ear. Well, they're family, so? We'll say this, every family's got one of them. Oh, but they're family. Which is it? My family's crazy, but Pastor, they're family. We have to understand that we have to realize that just because, if we're going to have those boundaries, not everybody gets a say. Number three, a healthy church refuses to be governed by its critics. Now, let me just throw this out here tonight. These Bible studies have been prepared for a while. And so it can be applied whenever and however you want to apply it. Look at verse 2 and 3. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? He's not going to do that. Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now, Tobiah, he's got to get in on it too. No, Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. It's amazing in verse 2 and 3, they're mocking, but then in verse number 7, they got to get everybody they can get. How did we get from verse 2 and 3 to verse 7? Think with me. It's because they didn't listen to their critics. Say, Pastor, do you have critics? Couple. No, I have four that I know of. Heather, Alyssa, Anna, and Addie. If you do anything, you have critics. Mockery is one of Satan's oldest weapons. Why? Because mockery can lead to discouragement. It's like a child drawing a picture and coming in and being so proud of it. And giving that picture to mom or dad or somebody being like, what in the world is that? You have a nightmare, child? What's wrong with you? And you see the shoulders droop because they were doing their best. The same is true when you're doing something for the Lord and you have a critic. Do they really mean it? Oh, they had an altar call. Oh, they surrendered. And they mock. You know what that does? That discourages. But if you're going to be a healthy Christian, if you are exposed to a critic, you got to let it go in one ear and out the other. And by the way, don't listen to critics. There are those who do, and then there are those who criticize those who do. That plays out every time. Because those that are doing doesn't have time to stop and criticize everybody. See, as a healthy church, we understand that criticism is not leadership at all. A critic is not a leader. A leader is going to say, if it was true that a fox, if it ran up on that wall, it would fall over. Let me tell you what a leader would do. He would get in there and say, let me help you fix this wall, instead of mocking the wall. Now, there's a lot of critics of the old time religion. They want to mock it, and they're not contributing anything. But don't be governed by your critics. You're always going to have critics. You try and have a Christ-like home, somebody's going to criticize it. You try and rear your children from the Lord, somebody's going to criticize it. You know, it's like we have a Christian school, as you know, and I'm proud of our Christian school. I think it's the best school. Amen. You mean in our county? No, I said the best school. Amen. That's my opinion. I mean, smart, super intelligent graduates, especially the class of 1992. But those critics of a Christian school, there's critics of every, you do, there's critics of everything, but a healthy church says, I'm not changing what I'm doing because somebody's criticizing. You say, would it be easier not to have critics? Sure. But once you get in your mind, I'm doing what's right, I'm not changing it, and they can mock it all they want, but I'm not going to be governed by it. We believe in the inspired Word of God. We believe in the Word Bible. We believe we're supposed to be different from this world. If you're different from this world, you are going to be mocked at some point. You are going to be criticized. Are you going to let your Christianity be controlled by the critic? It's amazing. It's amazing. Several years ago, it was amazing to watch just independent Baptist churches just change their Bible position on justice and restoration because of critics. They shifted because of criticism. And you know what they did? They were controlled by critics. But as a church, we can't be controlled by criticism. It's not what are the people saying. And by the way, if you're going to rear your children according to the Word of God, everybody okay tonight? If you're going to rear your children by the Word of God, you shouldn't do that by a Facebook poll. I found this group online, this Facebook group about rearing, telling me to rear my children. If you're in one of those, it's okay. Just don't listen to anything that's said in there. It's what does the Bible say? And we laugh at that, and I don't know if anybody's in that, but I know of situations where people left their church, defied the pastor, because they were more loyal to a Facebook group. You know, because critics, it's what has God said. You know, if we're not going to rear our children by Facebook group, we shouldn't choose our church by one. We shouldn't choose where we send our kids to college by one. We shouldn't choose what we do inside the church by one either. A healthy church refuses to be governed by its critics. Number four, a healthy church learns to pray and protect. All this takes place, and then they see the forces surrounding them. It was hard enough just to rebuild the city, build the walls, and now you have Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabians, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites, all conspired and conspire all of them together. You know, when somebody's trying to do something for God and then you see an alignment around them, that's not a move of God. That's a conspiracy of critics. What do they do? Look at verse 9 with me. You with me? Nevertheless, what is that in reference to? Verse 8. They came to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. Now, sadly, that's where a lot of Christians put a period and they scratch out the rest of that verse. We say a prayer unto our God. We're going to let God handle it. We're going to let God take care of it. And if Nehemiah had done that, the walls would not have been rebuilt. Notice I said a healthy church learns to pray and protect. It says, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. By the way, the critics are never scriptural. Right. They just pray about that. They just let God. That's not Bible. It sounds good. You get to beat on your chest a little bit and get, you know, the feathers on your back, patting you on the back once in a while, but it's not Bible. Right. Well, I just let my children make their own decisions and let the Spirit of God lead them. You're supposed to have boundaries. Right. Why is it we want boundaries on our borders but not on our around our homes? We want boundaries on it. Bless God, they better get that wall built. Well, Pastor, just let anybody come and go as they want. I can't believe, Pastor, would not want this person to come back. Deport them. I mean, make up your mind. Do you want boundaries or do you not want boundaries? I'm just calling for us. I'm not trying to make this a political rally. I'm just trying to point out how we need to be consistent in our stand and our living. It's to pray and protect. We made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them. Let me help you. Who's them? Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabians, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites. Why did they do that? Nehemiah's just taking things into his own hands. I don't know what Nehemiah's doing. Well, let me help you. Because of them. If Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and Ashdodites had minded their own business, they never would have had a watch set against them. Never would have. And sometimes the pastor in his own mind is like, I'm keeping my eye on that person. I'm keeping my eye on that situation. I'm setting a watch against them. So why are you doing that? Because of them. Because of what they're doing, because of what they're saying, because of how they're trying to discourage the people of God. It's pray and protect. Now notice they did both things. They prayed. That is showing dependence on God. But they also set a watch. That's showing responsibility. Not only can you have a dependence on God and fulfill your responsibility, we should do both. They prayed, God, please protect us. Please keep the enemies at bay. But at the same time, it's our responsibility to watch them to make sure they do. I know if there had been the internet in those days, a lot of people say, Nehemiah's got no faith. Nehemiah, he's got to let God handle it. Well, if I got to side with the internet theologian or with Nehemiah, I'm going to go with Nehemiah. They were dependent on God and they fulfilled their responsibility. We can break this all the way down, not just from a church standpoint in your home. Every parent, your children at home, you're rearing them to the best of your ability. Listen to me, you have to depend on God. Don't just pray every day. Pray throughout the day. You have to depend on God. You can read all of the books on rearing children. You can listen to everything. You can watch every episode of Oprah. Is that still out there? Is that still a thing? You can do all of that, but if you don't depend on God, you're in trouble. But at the same time, you can't pray and pray and pray and pray and just say, well, I hope it all works out. Lord, if they're going to sneak out of the house, please stop them. Lord, if they're, here's my 9-year-old, here's a phone. Lord, protect them from what they may be exposed to. Let me help you. Don't give them a phone. I know some 30-year-olds that don't need a phone. We have gotten so naive, and I almost said stupid. I almost say stupid. My mom told me, don't ever say stupid in the pulpit. So I'm not going to say stupid. We've gotten so naive. And we've allowed ourselves to be sucked into this and pray because we love. No, there are boundaries that are set. And God, we depend on Him. But because God set the boundaries, we say, don't cross that boundary. Because God said it. When it comes to my family, I'm going to pray, I want God to work in their heart, and I want God, in those times when Dad's not there, I want God, the Spirit of God, to be so real and to watch. But that does not mean I'm dropping all the boundaries, dropping all the rules, dropping all the safeguards. I'm not doing that. Because I'm going to pray and I'm going to watch. We have a responsibility to do both. There are two extremes, and you see them play out in churches. You see them play out in the lives of Christians in homes, sadly. One extreme is we trust God and we do nothing. A lot of churches are dying because we prayed for souls. Now, unlock the doors. Now, I believe God is perfectly capable of touching a heart and sending them to church. He does it all the time. That's one extreme. And then the other extreme is we're going to do everything without trusting God. We're going to go talk to everybody we can, and we're not one time going to stop and say, God, we need you to direct. We need you to convict. What do? We have to trust God, and we have to do everything in our power. See, a healthy church and a healthy Christian is going to pray. They're going to prepare. They're going to do their best to discern. They're going to protect. We're so silly. We'll apply to churches, but we won't even apply to our own home. Well, that church, they are. If somebody kicked in your door, well, let's have a word of prayer. I've had people tell me that. You know, if you kick in my door, one of us isn't leaving. Amen. I'm a red-blooded American. You mess with the door of that church. That's a boundary. We pray for God's protection. But at the same time, I'm setting a watch. I'm setting a watch. Prayer and vigilance belong together. I think about this. If you're not praying, you're not watching like you should. Because that prayer is like, what am I praying for? Where am I seeing the holes? If you have something to pray for, you're also watching. You're vigilant. They belong together. Okay, we said number 4, a healthy church learns to pray and protect. Okay, we've all seen that in the Bible. Right there, right? They did both. Number 5, a healthy church keeps building while opposition continues. Notice verse 6, in the midst of this, so built we the wall. Nehemiah didn't say, time out. Everybody sit down. We got to wait for this opposition to leave before we keep building. No, they kept building while opposition continued. They didn't stop. The opposition did not become their mission. Did you hear what I just said? The wall was still the mission. Now, we must pray and we must watch and we must protect the boundaries. But the opposition is not our mission. If we have to stop and put a watch on opposition to this church, we're not going to stop building. We're still going to keep adding Sunday school classes. We're still going to keep growing the church. We're still going to keep investing in others. Because that's the mission, not the opposition. And sometimes that gets confused in our mind as Pastor, if we do this, and I've had to wrestle with this, then is it going to keep us away from our mission? No, the opposition is going to keep us from our mission if we're not on watch. But they are not our mission. Our mission is to build the walls. Our mission is to do the work that God has given us in the days ahead. It's not a big secret in here tonight what we are getting ready to do. And I'll lay all that out Sunday night, but let me just say now, get it, set your mind at ease. The mission is to build the walls. And if we put on notice, you're on watch, we're going to keep building. We may have a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other one, but we're not going to stop building. We're not retreating. We're not canceling our program. We're not tailoring down our mission, our vision. No. We're doing more and more and more, and the reason the opposition is there is because what God is doing. So built we the wall. They didn't stop. Building remained the mission. There are times, apply this to your own life, apply this to your own home. There are times you're going to feel like the forces of hell are at your front door. You oppose them. You protect those boundaries. But you don't hunker down and not come to church. You don't stop. Well, the more I do for God, the more the opposition is, so I'm going to stop doing for God. No. You must continue to build. The goal is building God's work. If the opposition becomes your identity, or if opposition becomes your identity, you're not building. I believe the greatest thing a church can do for their nation is to build. Is to build a work, is to build lives, to build homes. That's greater than opposing Hollywood. Now, I'll preach against it. I'll warn against it. I'll say, here's some boundaries you should have. But because of the day of media and the internet, we think being opposed to things, we're building something. I want to ask young preachers, what are you building? I know what you're against. I know who you're against. I know what you're against. So what are you building? What's your podcast building? I know what it's destroying. I know what it's against. I know who it's against. But what is it building? So are you really helping the cause if you're just building? That's why it's so easy for me to see this is opposition, this is opposition, this is opposition. Why is it? What are they building? God's called us to the ministry of destruction. God put me here to tear down and destroy. Sounds like Sam Ballett. Build. Sunday school teachers, build. I mean, as a pastor, I'm going to preach against certain things, but my preaching is going to be predominantly building, edifying. If I don't ever have to be against anything from, and you know what I mean by this, from the pulpit, I'm not going to. I just want to lay brick on brick on brick on brick on brick. Sometimes it's like, okay, this is not a building sermon. We got a hole in this wall over here. And tonight I'm pointing it out to you, and we're going to rebuild this boundary. Are you following me? But we have to build. Number five? Six? No. You're trying to skip ahead. Number six is the next one. I'm not done with five yet. The goal is building God's work. We have to continue to do the work of God, even if opposition exists. Number six, a healthy church understands that protection is love. I touched on this Sunday night. No matter what God does in the future, there's going to be some young people who know that their pastor loved them. Not just because he said it, because he would protect them. Part of what we're going to do is because I love the people of this church more than I hate fighting a battle. I love the people that have been disparaged more than I hate doing what is necessary to do. But we understand that protection is love. Young people, if your parents have rules, it's not because they hate you. It's because they love you. It's become popular nowadays. My parents were so strict. They gave me a curfew and they wouldn't let me leave the house unless they approved of my outfit. And I'm looking what they're posting today and I was like, it's obvious you don't have anybody checking before you go out in public. But anyway. They didn't love me. It's not true. Protection is love. This is what some don't understand. You know, it's like, well, why are you going to protect the church? Because I love the church. That's why, well, I think you should do something different. Well, if you don't love your family, just say that. Don't try and shame me into not loving mine. If you don't love your church as much as I love my church, then just admit that. If you don't love your kids as much as I love my kids, well, Dad, can I do that? No. Well, you don't love them. Okay. Remember that next time you want to eat. Healthy church understands that protection is love. Some people hear words defending or guarding, protecting, and they're like, there's a spirit that's with that. And they assume they're supposed to be afraid. But a pastor, a true shepherd, protects because they love. Parents protect because they love. Nehemiah, why did he build those walls? Because it was convenient? Because it was popular? He got accused of everything in the world. No, he built the walls because he loved the city. See what Sanballat and Tobiah and these others didn't see? They didn't see in chapter number 1 a brokenhearted man weeping over a city he loved. And if he's willing to give everything up and he's weeping over a city, he's certainly going to protect it. Yes, sir. And young people, teenagers, young adults, children, you don't see those hours when parents are weeping, pleading with God for protection, for provision. And if you'll permit me to say it, church, you don't see the hours where your pastor's weeping, begging for God to say, why would you react that way? Because it's in my nature to protect that which I love. It's in my nature to guard that which is precious. Nehemiah built walls because he loved the city. I would submit to you that those that are dropping the walls of their church don't love their people. because they're exposing them. They're making them vulnerable. Healthy churches protect their doctrine. They protect their families. They protect their children. They protect their testimony. They protect that unity I spoke of. They protect that mission that God has given us. Protection is stewardship. You know, I use the illustration, if somebody kicks in my front door, what's the reaction going to be? I'm not going to look over and say, babe, you want to go check that out? No, there ought to be some protection. That ought to be our mindset. Number seven, last one. A healthy church remembers who ultimately fights for them. Verse 20 of chapter 4. In what place therefore ye hear the sound of the trumpet? Between verse 9 and verse number 20 is a wonderful passage of scripture. They are going to watch them be ready to protect. But look at verse number 20. In what place therefore ye hear the sound of the trumpet? Resort ye thither unto us. Be ready. But notice what the verse ends with. Our God shall fight for us. A healthy church members who ultimately fights for them. What do? We stay alert. We stay faithful. We use wisdom. We watch. We ought to watch. When that trumpet sounds, say, it's time. The enemy is here. Notice they did not put their swords down and go run together. But they prepared themselves with stewardship and responsibility, but they knew. There's no way we can take on all of that out there unless God fight for us. Mom and dad, be alert. Don't be naive. Well, my child can't get on the computer. Oh, yeah, they can. Well, my child will... No, be alert. Be very alert. But ultimately, it's got to be God. It's got to be God. See, God fights. That's why not every quote-unquote attack must consume us. Not every enemy deserves our energy. There's been times when the devil's opposed us. There have been times when things have happened. There's been times when there's been a battle behind the scenes, and I haven't brought it to you and say, oh, the devil's fighting us. Because sometimes not everything needs our energy. Not everything needs. But there comes times when, hey, this is a fight that we're to fight in healthy churches. Trust God. Why? Because truth is stronger. And ultimately, the church belongs to who? Belongs to Him. The church, we say this is our church, and there's nothing wrong with that. But ultimately, it's His church. We're stewarding that which belongs to Him. Nehemiah played a big role. Those walls were rebuilt. The Word of God's going to be rediscovered. Nehemiah had a great part in that. He built the walls so that others could enjoy the boundaries. Each generation has a responsibility to see where the walls have gotten weak and crumbled and to rebuild them. The generation that comes behind us will have that same responsibility. We must remember that the devil has been in business of fighting churches for a long time. And can I just remind us, the devil's more afraid of a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church than he is the Republican Party. Let me just say this. He's not afraid of the Republican Party. Not one bit. Well, they're going to sign a law. Oh, no, the devil shakes in his boots. Now, sign all the good laws you can, if they're going to. The devil's not afraid, but let me tell you what the devil is afraid of. He's afraid of God's church. So what do we do What does a healthy church do? In conclusion, it builds and watch. Builds and watch. Build and watch. A healthy church doesn't fear its enemies, doesn't obsess over critics, doesn't surrender boundaries. I'm not surrendering a boundary. It prays, it watches, it builds, it protects, all while trusting God. You know, I think about this, and I need to stop. I think about the mockery in verse 2 and 3. Now, Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, oh, yeah, he's making fun of what are they going to accomplish with this, these feeble Jews? And Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. We laugh and we mock. But, you know, maybe he was telling the truth. Maybe it wasn't a very well put together wall. But there has to be an element of trust of God. We're going to do the best that we can to build what we're supposed to build. Maybe if a fox, but this is what we know to do. This is what we've been called to do. We're going to do it. And at some point, God, we got to trust God. You really think that church is going to rear your kids for you? No, but it'll help. It'll certainly help. But we ought to pray for the Lord to make us discerning, but to keep us courageous, to protect our church, to strengthen our people. And can I just say, I don't think God gets pleasure out of cowardice. You don't even know what to do with that statement, do you? Fight for your kids. Fight for your home. Fight for your church. Fight for that which we've in so many ways in our country, we've just let things go because nobody's willing to fight for it. Fight for it. We got to pray for God to strengthen our people. Help us to keep building. Help us to stay focused. Help us to trust Him. Because we have to keep building. We build with one hand. We keep watch with the other. It's what a healthy church does. It builds walls. It's got to have boundaries. Got to have boundaries. You know, and let's not fall prey into the philosophy, and it's just rebellion. We believe that there ought to be a standard in our military, do we not? When's the last time the military has been accused of legalism? Well, your uniform has got to look this way and the equipment's got to be in this. There's a bunch of legalists. Some of you know the analogy I'm making. Why is it that God's people, we get intimidated by the fact that there's boundaries that we ought to have? Anybody got a favorite restaurant? Let's abolish all of the health codes. Just trust them. Trust that the profit margin won't affect what they do and they don't do. You know, and I have, you know, some of y'all have heard that I like Mexican food. It's like, Pastor, I heard that they had an inspection. It's like, why do you think it's so good? You get the point I'm making. We keep boundaries. We got to keep those boundaries in our life. Let's stay healthy as a church. Father, help us.